Hi, my name's Ian Wallace, the Messed Up Counsellor, and welcome to this podcast. We're talking today about manipulation and control, which is abusive. Manipulation control is in most people's lives in some way, shape or form. The government controllers, manipulators, people do. None of that is necessarily harmful. It gives us boundaries, gives us processes. But when it's abusive, that is a slightly different process. We're going to talk about that. I can't believe we've done 20 episodes of these podcasts to date, which absolutely is phenomenal, really, for me. And hopefully they've been helpful. Hopefully if you've seen any of the others, you've liked and shared them with people. I always say that you don't know whether or not anybody is suffering or being involved in these processes we talk about. But if they are, then just by sharing it, by liking it, you might then widely spread more to people who are not telling you how they're being affected by things or how they're being upset or disturbed or the kind of life issues they're going through. So hopefully, please like and share it. And that then will send it to a wider audience. They are all free and you can find them on different formats. So, manipulation control. What is it? The abusive manipulation control. I suppose it's, at the very heart of it, somebody saying you're wrong and you should do something different in order to be right. That sounds quite simplistic, doesn't it? So if people are a manipulator controller, they're going to tell you your world, the world you know, the world you work, how you see your world, is not how the world should be. Basically, their world is the world, and you should conform to that world. And when you try and put in boundaries to say, no, I'm going to have my own thoughts, my own ideas, my own processes, the abusive bit is when they try and give you a guilt complex to order to make you feel as though you shouldn't do what you want to do, but you should do what they want you to do. Now, that can obviously be very small guilt processes. Children, for example, are really good at giving us a guilt process. Yeah, can I? No, you can't. Well, if not, so-and-so's mum and dad like them to do that, and they do this, and they do that, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. It's a guilt complex. It's making you feel guilty that what you're not providing is what you should be providing. So kids are really good at that. They're really good salespeople. They do not take no for an answer, usually. Or most of them don't. So when it's abusive, it's getting you to conform to their world, their ideas, and not have your own world, your own ideas. And the abuse happens in a way that you feel as though you have no choice. You are not able to. And that then is somebody, the abuser, the controller, manipulator, saying that you have to supply my needs, my wishes, whatever it is. You have to agree to me or agree with me. Abuse and manipulation control comes in all sorts of formats, but it kind of comes down to three or four different headings, if you like. We can have physical abuse, we can have sexual abuse, we can have emotional abuse, we can have mental abuse, we can have financial abuse. It's anything that somebody says you can't, and they're going to hold something over you in order to make you conform to their world. When I'm working with this in the counselling process, sometimes people will give me views of their world, their life. They'll say how they're doing whatever they're doing. And I will see it as possibly abusive or manipulation and control. Now, when I have that conversation with them, saying, is that right, what you're saying? Is that how you feel it should be? Is that how it is? Is that the right way to think about it? Yeah. I won't use the word abuse first and foremost, because basically, if I do, that's a really big word, abuse. And not many people kind of see abuse as being, no, you can't have 20 quid to go out for a night. that's not abusive for some people. It's just saying, well, we can't afford 20 quid. Maybe. But if there's something that's a repetitive pattern, so if, say, well, you can't go out any time because we haven't got the money, you can't even go out for a coffee because we haven't got 5 quid, you can't go out for a walk because we can't afford the bus fare, whatever that is might not be seen from the person in front of me as abusive. So I try and look at inquiring about somebody's world, somebody's life, giving them different views of things and giving them different options of things. And that process helps them to engage in comparisons, I suppose. That this world that I'm working in, you're giving me a different view of the world, and now I've got a comparison between both worlds. And then I can make some informed choices. So part of my world with manipulation and control that's abusive is actually getting to understand, or the person in front of me, getting to understand that it is abusive. They don't normally see it as such. And most abused people, initially, there might be some denial, there might be some minimising process going on. And so it's a case of kind of trying to get them to think about, look at, explore different concepts, different ideas of that particular situation. Now, if somebody in the room cannot explore that, cannot see that as wrong, because they've maybe been in that relationship for a long period of time, or maybe they don't feel their needs, their requirements, they see it as selfish, for example, then in my world as a counsellor, I have to try and utilise some tools in order for them to maybe see that in a different way. So we use an externalisation tool, or I do, and a lot of people do. Some people call it the empty chair process. So what I'll say to people is, okay, if your friend was telling you this, what would you say to your friend? And that can help them put it into a different perspective, a different relationship, a different way of thinking. Because their world is about the emotional involvement with the manipulator controller. If they're saying it to a friend, then they're not involved in that. So they can be a bit more objective in their world and their life, and they can think about it more. So that process means that they can engage with it and they can have an idea about it. That will give them a comparison. Well, if you're saying that, you know, if your friend told you this, that you'd say, well, actually, is that okay? Is that all right? Do you think that's helpful? Then if you say that that's okay for your friend to look at you that way, then you need to then explore whether or not you should look at you that way. So it's kind of utilising tools to externalise out of the room in order to other relationships, that they can be the counsellor, the kind of person who gives them a different view, a different opinion. Sometimes that will work. Sometimes, depending on whether they're really entrenched, whether or not they can actually see that. And so it's really a case-by-case situation with clients. No one thing will work for everybody, obviously. So we need to kind of explore different models, different ways of working. And I suppose for them, the person in front of me, getting them the first step is to get them to see that that is abusive. It is manipulation. It is control. Now, that's not saying that is wrong. That's just saying, as long as you understand this process, you have a choice. You can stay with it. Fine. That's your choice, and I respect that. Or you can move away from it, or you can try and put boundaries in to make that manipulation control be something you have a choice over. So the work is quite hard sometimes, because it affects people in different ways and from many aspects. And there might be other people involved in that process. There might be children. There might be other relationships involved. So from that point of view, you might not just be working with the person that's going to be affected by putting boundaries and control aspects in place. There may be wider aspects of the family or friends, you know. And if the manipulator controller is using some kind of process of control They may, in some sense, blackmail you. You know, they may say, well, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to let your friends, your family know this. So that manipulation control can go into really deep, horrible places. And we see that on the news. We see people in connections on the internet, young people, and they'll be asked to provide photographs of various parts of their body to the manipulator controller on the other end of the internet. And then they'll use that as a way of controlling them. Say, well, you know, if you don't do what I say, if you don't give me more pictures, more videos, whatever, I'm going to release this to the outside world, the wider world. And they use it to blackmail them to get their needs met. So it can go to some really deep and dark places, manipulation and control, and it can be very abusive. So once we've engaged with the process of offering different ideas, different comparisons, different ways of looking at things, then the person we're working with has choices, as I said. So the choice could be, okay, not a problem, I'll keep on doing what I'm doing. It doesn't affect my world that much. It's okay, I can cope with that, whatever, and that's their choice. And obviously we go with that. If there's a choice of risk, i.e. the person you're working with might become hurt physically, sexually, then there's a different process for us as counsellors, because our main drive, if you like, main reason for doing the work is to keep people safe. So that wider aspect as a counsellor might be that we need to have conversations with clients about something that may be illegal, possibly within the manipulation control, or maybe something that, you know, they don't necessarily feel comfortable in talking about. But I suppose my world as a counsellor, as therapist, is to open up those conversations in a respectful way. I don't mean just hit them with a sledgehammer of a question, but open up conversations to check those things, to kind of explore those things. So when we're working with manipulation control, it's about trying to get the person we're working with to understand, first of all, that it could be a controlling, manipulative, abusive process. Then explore what it is they want to change, how they would like it to be, and then see whether or not we can safely put in process those changes. It's very hard sometimes to see these things when you're involved in it, you're living it, that this drip, drip, drip effect sometimes in manipulation control, because there is some aspect of escalation with manipulation and control. It doesn't usually stay the same. It becomes more pronounced. It becomes more involved in your world and in your life. It escalates. The controller manipulator really can't get enough, so they move that, and they may then control or try and control other people. When I've worked with partners where there is a manipulation control, usually they don't see it until it's actually been then put onto their children, their dependents. And then they see that behaviour much easier, and they see it as being a negative process for their child in that process. And that's sometimes when they come to people like myself. I can put up with it, I'm okay with it. Doesn't necessarily affect me, you know, I get on with it. But if it affects my kids, then sometimes that's the process that engages with our work, because they'll put up with themselves, but they won't necessarily allow their kids to put up with it. Whenever we're working with that level of abuse, which is a risk level of abuse, there is somebody going to be hurt physically or in some way, shape or form by this, then we have to be mindful of the wider implications of extracting that person from that abusive relationship. Because we're going to take them into a place where they have choices, decisions, that might be to extract themselves from that relationship. Now, the one that's manipulating, controlling, abusing will not want that. It's not their world. It's their needs are the most important. You are moving away from supplying my needs. whatever they may be. So I'm going to not be happy about that. So when we do that work, when we cover that process, we have to make sure it's safely done. If we allow the manipulator controllers to know what's going on, less likelihood of it being safe, because they will be aware of what's going on. So we have to do it in a way that makes it easier for the manipulated person, the person who's being abused, to kind of explore how I extract myself from this. It's not going to be a process just one day I'll roll up and say X, Y, Z, I'm leaving or whatever. That element of abuse usually comes over a process of time to build a exit plan, for example. So how can we exit safely? What do we need to exit safely? And we build that in the room with the client, and we build that exit plan based on what they need. But sometimes we have to say it as it is. We have to use the word abuse instead of manipulation and control. So once we do that, once we give that understanding, that's a really heavy word to use, which a lot of people won't see. But hopefully, with the exploration, the process of understanding it. But whatever we do has to be, from their point of view, their choice. We can't tell them what to do. We can support them in the process of putting boundaries in, extracting from that relationship, whatever it is that needs to happen from their point of view. But we can't necessarily take control. I have a view of that process. Yes, sometimes as a counsellor, I have a duty of care, and I have to understand risk, and I have to explore risk, which is natural. But I think for me, that divulging of that confidentiality to a third party, i.e. getting them help from the police, say, or the GP or whoever, that for me, I want to try and get the client to disclose, and I will support them in that disclosure. I think that's more helpful than me taking control personally. Now, sometimes that can't happen. I know that. But more often than not, in the 20 years I've worked this process, even being in some really horrible places with clients and clients' worlds, I've never really had to take control. I've had to have very strong conversations with clients, quite naturally. But I've always gone with the process of supporting the client to disclosure, supporting the client to get out of that abusive relationship, supporting having external bodies, you know, that might be able to do that. You know, with women, it could be Women's Aid that will help them extract themselves from abusive, manipulative and controlling relationship. So it's not just me, in a sense. I have to try and get other people to support that person on a much more day-by-day kind of process, so that it's not just me that's trying to engage with that. And I think the more people I can get involved, like Women's Aid or other support agencies, then the client's got more help, obviously, and more options for that help. People like Women's Aid would be able to give them solicitors, maybe, and go through that process. And they may be able to give them safe refuge. There's a whole range of things that I can't do, quite naturally, that other support organisations could do. So it's about kind of finding that process of change and what helps that client to that change. And if it's abusive, I can't condone it. I can't ignore it. I have to give that understanding to the client, because I have a duty of care to them, that they are being hurt in some way. They are being manipulated or controlled. So I have to have that conversation, which is never easy, ever. It never comes easy after 20 years of kind of working those kind of worlds. But it's the benefit of the client, and the client is the one that I'm engaged with, not anybody else. So in that process of engaging with that client and finding that wider world, externalizing that message, what would you say to your friend if your friend was saying this to you? Or what would you say to your daughter, son, cousin, mum, dad, if they were saying this to you? Can be massively helpful in that process of comparison, that process of understanding, learning, an idea that actually, no, this is not right. And if it's a low-level manipulation control, that can be worked within the relationship. If it's a high level of manipulation control and abuse, probably not. The relationship would not necessarily be helped by doing couple work, for example. So as a couple therapist, I wouldn't be able to do a manipulation control process that was abusive within a couple dynamic, because I could be colluding with the abuse, the manipulation control, by allowing that to be kind of worked with. And it might put the client in a much more difficult position and a more unsafe position by bringing that into a couple dynamic. So usually as a couple therapist, I tend to try to work with abuse on, in the singular with the person that's been abused, because that usually is the more beneficial, in my experience. I don't think there's one way to do it. Well, there's not one way to do anything really on the planet, you know. But I think if somebody is making your life worse by their behaviour and they're making you feel that you're wrong and you should do what they tell you to do, then that's not really having your life, is it? It's allowing the other person to have their life, their needs, their requirements. But it's not you. And you should be the one that takes control. You should be the one that makes those choices. In the process, if they accept that choice, if they get their own support and responsibility for how they produce their world, their life, and trying to make you the person that helps them with that, if the abuser takes responsibility, says, actually, I don't like the way I am, I don't like how it reacts, the consequences of my actions, then that person can get help. I'm a great believer, unless we take responsibility for our own world and our own impact on others, we usually don't change because we don't see a reason to. We don't have that consequence of how I am affecting another person. Because why should I change? My world's okay. I'm not bothered by anybody else's world. So that process of developing that conversation tends to be an awkward one for therapists and counsellors. And sometimes, depending on our mode of work, you know, it's hard. Because we have to be interactive, we have to have input, we have to be not directional but certainly offering different ideas, and that's not always the easiest process to do with a client. So if you're in one of those relationships, if that is something that I've talked about today that hits a nerve for you, either because you are controlling, manipulative, take responsibility and get help and support to change that behaviour, which everybody can do. If you're the person that's been affected by it, i.e. you're being manipulated, controlled or abused, then find a way to get that support, find a way to get more help, more structure, to be able to share those things that's happening with you. Because it's only by sharing it and it not being a secret that actually we can change things. Don't feel embarrassed, don't feel guilty, don't feel shame. Those things are what control us. They stop us. Have open dialogue with a support structure, a counsellor, a therapist, a local community centre, a religious process, if you're a religious person, whoever it is, have those conversations. Because once we talk about it, it's easier to share it with others. You know, a problem shared is a problem halved. Well, that's not necessarily true, but a problem shared helps us to share it with other people. And once we start sharing it, we then can get that support and help. I hope the people that's watching this, these things do not affect you. I really do hope that, that these have never been an issue in your world and your life. But if it does have a resonance with you in either way, then please change and get an option of support to do so. If you see this podcast and you think, that doesn't affect me, please share it, because most of the people that I've ever met that's been in abusive relationships never, ever, ever tell anybody. And by sharing it, you could start a process of helping them to understand it, to get support, and to see that actually, no, that's disrespectful. That's not respecting me as a person, this thing that you're doing. And then they may be able to change it with help and support. My name is Ian Wallace, and I'm the Messed Up Counsellor. If you've liked it, share it. Share it in any case. You never know where it will be helpful. And I'll come back to you again with another set of podcasts. Take care, look after yourself, and keep safe.